Сегодня.
Сегодня. Четверг.
Четверг.
16.
16.
Апреля.
Апреля.
В Москве 10 часов вечера. Пора баньки. Если вам, конечно, еще нет 18.
Thank you.
Я 2 дня в ноябре подключен был прошлого года. 26 апреля этого года я только получил первый разрыв. Почему не было ни единого разрыва?
Thank you. 戦闘的な目的を解決、なくした記憶を見つけるだろう。なぜなら2076では何も変わらない。それが本当か誰も知らない。だって今まで誰もあそこから帰ってきたやつなんかいない。俺一人なんです。誰かが2076から出ようとしたらどれぐらいの時間がかかるんだ。簡単に出ていけるものもいい。でも人によってはかなりの時間がかかる。もうどれぐらいこの列車に乗っているのか忘れてしまった。すごく寂しくなってきた。
We'll be right back. Радио Анонимус. Слушайте, иди нахуй.
Open to further progress. The most numerous, the most prosperous prairie are doomed to decay. The simplest way to term these two opposing philosophies is individual selection versus group selection, and each of them have their problems. Individual selection not only had the bevy of seemingly altruistic behaviors out there to contend with, but it also didn't do a very good job explaining how groups of animals weathered and evolved through catastrophe. Individual selection was fine for explaining how a species might make itself fitter under normal circumstances, but even before Darwin died, there was plenty of reason to suspect that the brunt of evolutionary pressure and change occurred not when some single creature mutated, but when environmental pressures made it necessary for whole communities to adapt. Group selection fared better on that issue, and on altruism more generally, but just barely. Because while groupies, can I call them groupies? I'm going to call them groupies. Because while groupies had an easier road accepting altruism, that didn't mean they knew what to do with it. The problem that Darwin had identified still held. How could communities evolve in ways other than strict individual benefit? On the most basic level, the issue came back to heritability. Sure. Maybe there were traits that would, in the aggregate, benefit a community and harm...
Ну да, да, да. Вот как раз этим вот я подъебывал, как они могут появляться, если понятно только как индивидуальные черты.
Maybe there were traits that would, in the aggregate, benefit a community and harm an individual. But only individuals have a chance to pass down traits through reproduction. So even if altruism made theoretical sense, what mechanism could there be for achieving it? Groupies didn't really know. But even if they could explain that, there was another issue. What about freeloaders? In a society of mutual aid, assuming such a thing exists, the wider community would share...
Извините. Что, есть какой-то даже психолог, который занимался скрытым мотивом и бихевиоризмом научной теории эволюции? Анончик, ты не сначала слушаешь? Вот смотри. А потом он... Да... Не буду спойлерить. Эленчик, ты сначала слушаешь, ну вот смотри, вот да, Дарвин, вот понял, что вот. Сначала надо было слушать, не буду. Во-первых, так мы никогда не дослушаем, если мы вообще собираемся дослушать на стриме этот эпизод. Во-вторых, повторяться.
Of mutual aid, assuming such a thing exists, the wider community would share a price for their compromise.
Так, фрило, профрило, африло.
Could explain that. There was another issue. What about freeloaders?
Все-таки Дарвин психолог. Анончик, альтруизм в широком, как бы, биологическом плане. Как возникают виды черты, которые однозначно альтруистические? В плане в том, что они помогают не индивидууму, а другим. И как эти черты, по какому механизму, ну, пример черты — это жопное жало пчелы, которая себя убивает, помогая. По какому механизму эволюции эти черты возникают?
In a society of mutual aid, assuming such a thing exists, the wider community would share a price for their compromise and also share in its benefits. But what about the cheaters? Take the Springbok again. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that the obvious explanation for their pronking is the correct one, that leaping into the air is an alarm system that mildly endangers the whistleblower, but helps the herd so much that it's worth it anyway. Plausible enough, except what about the non...
Tell that. Слушаем про историю научного исследования вопроса альтруизма, ну, естественно, затрагивают. Начали как раз примерно с 1959 года публикации On Origin of Species Darwin. И дальше, сейчас еще не дошло, дальше будет очень интересно про двух конкретных людей. Сейчас более про научную историю, а дальше будет там интересно про биографию двух друзей.
Anyway, plausible enough, except what about that mildly endangers the whistleblower, but helps the herd so much that it's worth it anyway. Plausible enough, except what about the non-pronkers? If only some Springboks pronk, then the non-pronkers would receive all the benefit and accrue none of the risk, which should mean that the cheapskates are fitter than the altruists, which should then translate to more cheapskates surviving than altruists, until eventually you're left with an entirely non-pronking population. In evolution, the thinking went, cheaters always prosper.
Как альтруистические черты в виде могут появиться, если альтруисты склонны умирать, за их счет другие будут?
Neither the...
И да, я вот говорю, ну, я типа немножко знаю, типа, в какую сторону ответ, но четко ответа вот на этот вопрос, на самом деле, я тоже не знаю.
Cheaters always prosper. Neither the groupies nor the indies were looking very good, but wait, there's more. No one anywhere had a good idea of how exactly babies were made, which we talked about way back in Let's Talk About Sex, Babies. And that included Darwin and all the evolutionists who followed him, indie and groupie alike. In 1868, Darwin put forward a theory of heredity in order to try to plug this hole in natural selection. He didn't claim to know that this idea was correct, but figured it had to be something like it. And he called his theory pangenesis. The gist of pangenesis was the idea that all cells, all around any living thing, continually shed little particles he called gemmules, which somehow contained the heritable information from those cells. So, if you've got blue eyes, your eyes release gemmules that say blue eyes. And if you've got brown eyes, they release brown eye gemmules. Whatever your specific gemmules, they travel through the body to the gonads, where they're all globbed together to form the complex sex cells, egg and sperm. Then, when those sex cells meet after intercourse, the sperm and the egg blend their gemmules together into a mix of both parents. Pangenesis was a really bad idea. One of those bad ideas that makes you dizzy trying to figure out how to explain all the ways it sucked. For starters, it's just wrong, isn't it? Just absolutely incorrect.
Извините, вы говорите так, у всех эволюционные странности, бла-бла-бла-бла-бля. Как они возникают, если эволюция — это выживание наиболее приспособленного вида? В индивидууме возникают рандомные мутации, он выживает, так как если эти мутации оказались полезны, и дает потомство, как могут появляться и закрепляться мутации, которые вообще-то ведут к смерти индивидуума. Алло!
Letters into a mix of both parents. Pangenesis was a really...
Извините, еще... Или вы вот вы как по-вашему работает эволюция? Как по-вашему работает естественный отбор? Как работает естественный отбор-то, ребят? Эволюционные странности, блядь.
Blend their gemmules together into a mix of both parents. Pangenesis was a really bad idea. One of those bad ideas that makes you dizzy trying to figure out how to explain all the ways it sucked. For starters, it's just wrong, isn't it? Just absolutely incorrect. But there were two ways in which it was incorrect that really fucked things up. I've been holding off on doing an episode about Lamarckism, and I'm not going to cover it in any detail here, but just as a brief explainer, Lamarckism was a pre-Darwinian theory that thought traits were passed on from generation to generation as they were acquired throughout life.